had him already on his way to the ACC tournament, and he's heading down to Charlotte. But the Carolina Panthers are reporting to training camp this week as well, which means I got to turn to my good friend, my Culture Sake co-host, WREL Sports, Chris Lee. If you're in the triad, you may know him as Show Smooth on 102 Jams, or you may have saw him as Chris Lee, either wrestling or on WXII out there in the triad. But, Chris, I know you're heading down to Spartanburg, which I'm sorry you have to head down to South Carolina. That's very unfortunate. But, Chris, earlier in the show, we talked about some concerns that we have offensively for the Carolina Panthers, but I want to get into some concerns we have on defense for the Carolina Panthers. A new defensive system, a 3-4 scheme, with a new defensive coordinator coming in, and there are concerns, injury concerns with this team. I look first at corner. Bradbury coming off of an injury with the Achilles tear. J.C. Horn has been nicked up multiple times in his career, just two seasons in, but he's been nicked up multiple times. Questions at depth at linebacker. Defensively, what is the most concerning thing for you that you see with this Carolina Panthers squad on the defensive side?
Yeah, Dante Jackson is who was coming off
Jackson,
that Achilles tear. But what'd you say?
I say, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I accidentally said Bradbury, not Dante Jackson. My apologies.
Yeah,
but go on.
So I think the main concern really for me is going to be, what's the linebacker depth going to look like? There's a few guys that they've signed. But behind, Shaq Thompson and also Frankie Louvu, there are some real questions as to who's going to be there, what's going to be there for them. Will somebody like Brandon Smith take a step up this year? He showed some flashes last year filling in. Can he take a step up? There's, different guys that's been signed, Grugier Hill, and, will he make the team? Will he be somebody that could be a part of it? So that's something that to look at. But then also at corner. You mentioned it. Dante Jackson is coming off of the Achilles tear. He's known for his speed. How fast is he going to be? He's somebody who can get beat, and he's somebody who likes to use his speed to make up for some of his mistakes when he likes to jump routes. So is he going to be able to do that at the same level? And you also mentioned as far as J.C. Horn. Mm-hmm. Is J.C. Horn going to be able to stay healthy for most of the season? And, I'm not as concerned with him, mainly because the two injuries he's had has been, just straight up breaks. And, one, of course, you understand the one from Jeremy Chin, as his arm gets stuck. And then the other one was just a stress fracture. So can he stay healthy during the entire season? But those are the two positions that I'm really looking at. Defensive line.
Yeah.
I'm fine with. There is a question as far as like who is going to set that edge on the other side of Brian Burns, but there's enough guys to fill in if they do not go the free agent route that those guys on the other side of Brian Burns could help him out at a certain point. So that's, and I'm not worried about safety either with Von Bell being there, Xavier Woods, and also Jeremy Chin. So that's all going to be taken care of. It's really corner and linebacker that I'm worried about.
I think safety actually is a strength. We'll actually get into that here in a little bit. Chris Lee, WREL Sports, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Dennis Cox sitting in for Adam this afternoon. Now, you talk about opposite of Brian Burns. Now, Brian Burns is a great player, but opposite of him, who do you think actually has currently on the roster the
All summer, the Shenandoah Valley is coming alive to the sound of music. The Shenandoah Valley Music Festival kicks off July 21st with Three Dog Night, Don McLean the next day, The Doo-Wop Project on the 28th, and 1964, a Beatles tribute on July 29th. Then it's Forever Motown on August 18th and Steep Canyon Rangers on August 19th. Discover the complete lineup and get tickets at musicfest.org. That's musicfest.org. Brought to you by our gold sponsors, First Bank, Loudoun Mutual, and LD&B Insurance.
Who's the leading man to take over that spot? I know they went into the draft to take a guy who's really old in that position in the third round with Johnson, but who is it? Haynes? Is it going to be by committee? Because last time I checked, if there's no one that's a threat on the opposite side of Brian Burns, a lot of attention can go to Brian Burns. Someone has to be somewhat of a threat opposite of Brian Burns if they're going to generate pass rush outside of Brian.
Yeah, it is. I think it will be by committee to answer a part of your question. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be very interesting. I think Marquise Haynes is probably the leading guy on that other side.
Okay.
But then also you have Yetur Gross-Matos. This is going to be a position change from him from defensive end to basically outside linebacker. So can he use his athleticism and play a new position to get him to being a threat on that other end for the Panthers? That's something where he feels good about it. He's excited about this change. That's something that he said that's been reported. And also, it looks like they've been pretty much happy. The coaching staff has been happy with what they've seen from him so far. Then there's also Amari Barno, who showed flashes last year as well on that other side. And then you also mentioned DJ Johnson. So I'm not worried about the committee that they have on that other end, because you have four guys who all have something to prove. And out of that four, you got to think that at least one, maybe two, will eventually come out and show that they are going to be that, I wouldn't say permanent, but at least the person who's going to be the opposite edge of Brian Burns for the rest of the season.
Chris Lee, WREL Sports, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. We talked about safety a little bit with Woods, with Bell, and Jeremy Chinn. How does Evereaux, you think, use Jeremy Chinn defensively? Do you think we're going to see him what we saw with Chin's rookie year in terms of him playing up near the line of scrimmage more up in the box, being a playmaker around the line of scrimmage, or do we see him dropping back deep in coverage? Because I thought he was most effective when he was actually closer to the line of scrimmage, making a lot of plays.
You know, some of the stuff that's been reported so far is that they kind of keeping that close to the vest exactly how he will be used. But they have reported that there's a chance that he's going to be playing nickel a little bit as well in their nickel packages. So you can see him in coverage in that way. I think you're going to see a mixed bag, kind of like you did, like you mentioned, his rookie year in the league. You could see him back there playing safety back in coverage. But then there's also a lot of times where he was the most effective. The game that comes to mind is that Minnesota Vikings game where he had two touchdowns, two defensive touchdowns, and back-to-back plays, right? And so that was him playing close to the line and being effective, as a hitter. And as a tackler. And so I think you're going to see a lot of that as well, because again, there is that question with linebacker. And after you get past that, you know, the three defensive linemen and the outside linebackers are going to be right there on the line, it's just, Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvu. Makes me wonder if maybe in some packages you'll see, Jeremy Chinn, join them, especially, when it looks like the other team is going to go for a run, and you can kind of load the box that way. So, but I think Jeremy Chinn is definitely going to be a mixed bag for sure. And I'll be interested to see what practice looks like once they get on the field on Wednesday to see, how they're going to have him lined up with that starting defense.
And one thing we see a lot now, because NFL offenses are so spread these days with three, four receiver sets, that you're constantly in sub packages. So we see oftentimes like these kind of larger safeties or, plus size safeties sliding up to play a weak side inside linebacker spot. I mean, I could easily see Jeremy Chinn being used in that role. So he's still around the line of scrimmage, but can still cover backs or, tight ends, whatever it may be. So I could see them definitely using him in that role because, once again, it seems like, you have a base 3-4, but you're only in your base defense, what, like 30% of the game? let's be honest here.
And he's a big guy, and he can absolutely do that. He can handle it. He is a lot bigger than what he looks on TV. And even on TV, he looks big, but you don't realize that he's a legit 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
And the guy is about, he's probably listed 225, 230, probably all of that, but a lot of muscle. So he could legit be a linebacker if he wanted to be, but he has the speed of a safety. So a really good gadget tool for Ejiro Evereaux to use in his first year with the Panthers. And maybe even, maybe he used Jeremy Chinn so well that he's only with the Panthers for 1 year and gets a head coaching job. Who knows?
Over, under 10.5 games, number of games J.C. Horns plays this season. Over, under 10.5.
Over.
Okay.
I think J.C. Horn, I think, has to play at least 15. I mean, he played 15 games last year.
I know.
He got hurt at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
And it was going for a tackle, and him and Jeremy Chinn collided, and his arm got stuck, and the arm got broken. So, I think I understand that injury. I'm not going to hold that one against.
Yeah, I know. But I know he got a little nicked up in the off season and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I know. It's a big season for J.C. Horn. He's that good. I mean, he really is that good. Because when he's out there, the defense is totally different. He is that good. Chris Lee, WREL Sports, thanks for your time. please come back safe from South Carolina in Spartanburg. That's the only thing I ask of you, sir.
The week after that, next week, I'll have to also go to Alabama. So, like, I'm just really, like, getting all the best the South has to offer right now.
All summer, the Shenandoah Valley is coming alive to the sound of music. The Shenandoah Valley Music Festival kicks off July 21st with Three Dog Night, Don McLean the next day, The Doo-Wop Project on the 28th, and 1964, a Beatles tribute on July 29th. Then it's Forever Motown on August 18th and Steep Canyon Rangers on August 19th. Discover the complete lineup and get tickets at musicfest.org. That's musicfest.org. Brought to you by our gold sponsors, First Bank, Loudoun Mutual, and LD&B Insurance.